continuing our series we started a couple weeks ago called Give. Simple word, give. And when we say that word give, it automatically brings up different emotions within us. And we know that since the time we were young kids, that word was not easy for us, was it? Your mama told you what? Give that toy to your brother and sister. What'd you say? No, mine. And we have that mentality. We're born with that natural mentality of, if we're not careful, we're a naturally selfish people. And so as a Christian, we never become more like Christ than when we learn to give. Because God so loved the world that he what? Gave. His only begotten Son, the most precious gift he could have gave to us, he did by example. And he shows us that this act of giving, he gives us grace, he gives us mercy, he gives us blessing, he gives us counsel, he gives us direction, he gives us instruction, he gives us correction, all these things that God gives to us, but still he gave, and he gave. And all through Scripture, we see where God gave, where Jesus gave. There's a pattern here that he's wanting you and I to learn, that when we become a Christian, a Christ person who's following after Christ, that we are what? Called to give our life away. And that's what takes us. We've been going through a journey this year. We looked at how in this journey that it's when we come to the knowledge of grace, when we have a full understanding of God's grace. We spent 8 weeks talking about the power and the importance of God's grace, being overwhelmed by God's grace. It just blows our mind away. And when we have a full understanding of God's grace, that we are saved only by grace, not by works, but grace, when we have a full understanding of grace, it leads me to want to do good works, but we can never take credit for our own salvation. It's only reason that we are saved is through grace. And when we have that, we move into beginning a relationship with God. That's the beginning of our relationship with God. And it's through the foundation of the Word that we learn to draw closer to God. We spent the last 60 days, we spent doing three chapters a day, reading the Word of the Lord, putting in the Word of the Lord. We talked about God's Word, that importance, because when we learn the importance of God's daily bread in my life, it changes who I am, and I move from a person who's beginning in God to a person who's drawing close to God. Now, this next bridge, the last bridge we're talking about in the series, is the bridge of give. That when we cross this bridge of giving, that we learn to open up our life and give it to God, every area of our life, we are becoming the most like Christ that we can become. It's called Christ-centered. And I say this to you, that I know people who used to be Christ-centered who have gone backwards. They're back to a maybe a close-to-God stage, or even back to a beginning-in-God stage. That just because we are at one point in our life doesn't mean we stay there. And that this is a journey that we're on. It's a continual journey of learning and growing in our relationship with God. And my prayer as your pastor is that you will learn to grow every day, every week, every month, every year, that you are drawing closer to God and getting to this point where you say, I want to become God-centered in my life. With God, I care about what God thinks above and beyond anything else. What does God think about my life? He's the most important thing to me. I have learned this. I've got a revelation of grace. I've got a revelation of his Word. And I just want to give my life away to the kingdom of God. I want to make sure other people know that God loves them. I want to advance the kingdom of God, whatever it takes. And so when we take these steps of maturity, of growing in God, and we learn this through what? This bridge of giving is making us grow God-centered, Christ-centered. We talked about expanding and learning to open up. Learning to open up, that we are tight-fisted people with our life, with our time, our talent, our treasure. And when we're learning to give, first of all, we got to learn that God wants us to have an open hand. That we can't walk into every situation with a closed mind and a closed hand. You know, I know I can't meet every need, but when I walk in closed-minded, I'm not going to meet anybody's need. We walk around, well, they just want my money, or they just want my time. And we walk around all the time with this wall built up. And so becoming Christ-centered and God-giving person who's learning to give, you're tearing down those walls and saying, God, I want to learn to open up, because you may have something for me today. You may have somebody you want me to minister today. You may have a need you want me to give toward today, my time, my talent, my treasure, whatever it is I have. God, it belongs to you to advance the kingdom of God. Last week we talked about forgive and the four things that went with giving, that God has called us not to judge, to condemn, to give out forgiveness. And when we do those three things combined with giving, he says, then you receive a what? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's the kind of blessing he gives when we combine our giving with no condemnation, with no judgment, and with forgiveness. Today I want to talk to you about a thought called give up. Now, this is a vocabulary word you will never hear me say again, probably. Because I do not know this word very well. Matter of fact, I had a hard time typing it up there today. I went through my mind, I probably changed the theme back and forth, but I believe it fits today that God's wanting us to learn to give up. And if you know me, I don't like to give up anything, okay? And I'm sure you're the same one. We don't like to give up, and I will keep playing you. If you're beating me in the game, we're going to play it all night, okay? Until I can finally win, because I can't sleep. I can't put my head down on my pillow knowing that I lost every single time. And so I've got to at least, you got to at least let me win if you want to go on. Because I'm going to play you all night. I do not like to give up, and I know you guys know what I'm talking about. You got some of the same attitudes in your house that you don't like to give up. We're people who don't like to give up, and it's a natural thing for us is not to give up. Now, some of you give up pretty easy, and we need to work on that because God doesn't want you to give up. God wants you to learn to have that strength of perseverance, and when times get tough, that I don't leave the body of Christ. I don't go and take a hiatus and skip church. That's when I get in even stronger and say, God, I need you. I am sticking this thing out. Even when things look bad, I'm holding on to you. But today I'm looking at this avenue of giving up as a whole different way. It's a learning to give up to self. It's a learning to give up. We have a hard time giving up, but God wants us to learn to give up. How many have a hard time with people who steal from you? Isn't that a hard thing? We have a hard time from people who steal from us. You know what I'm talking about? We have a hard time with people who like to steal from us. And I tell you, it's a really hard thing from us. We realize this in John 10:10, that somebody is wanting to steal from us. That's what it says. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. So we know that Satan, the thief, comes to what? To steal from my life, to kill from my life, and destroy my life. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have what? Life. And then he also said, I may have life more abundantly. So let me ask you, how do we receive life, eternal life, in the kingdom of God? How do we receive eternal life in the kingdom of God? By giving our life to Jesus, right? When we give our life to Jesus, we receive eternal life in the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, how do we walk in abundant living? This abundance, this blessing that God's talking about, not only to give us eternal life, but there's an abundance of life that he wants us to walk on the earth to have. How do we walk in that? How do we receive that? By giving our life away to Jesus. It's the same thing. They go hand in hand. When we give our life to Jesus, we receive eternal life. And when after that point, when I learn to daily give my life to him, when I'm learning to continually to open up my life to him, to give it up to him, there's an abundance of living that he wants me to experience. Let's look at our text today, Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8. I want you to see this text today, and I really want you to see what is going on here. Look what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King of the Lord God Almighty. Then one seraphim flew to me, with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from you. Your sin is atoned for you. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. As we see here, there's three visions that Isaiah is having in this chapter. Three visions of Isaiah seeing. He's seeing three different things. First of all, he sees an upward vision. He sees an upward vision. He saw the Lord. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and exalted upon the throne. He had an upward vision. He had a vision of the Lord. And after he sees the vision of the Lord, look what else he sees. Then he has an inward vision. He saw himself. He saw himself. After he sees the Lord, then he sees himself. And he says, hey, I'm a man here. I'm unclean. An unclean man. And then he has an outward vision. He saw others. He said, Lord, send me. I'm the one to go. And so in this chapter, when it talks about giving, I want to look at this as a part of a pattern of giving, that God is wanting us to give up our lives, that we look up, have a vision of the Lord, and then we look inward, and we have an inward vision of ourselves, and then we look outward, and God's wanting us to change us to go outward in our vision. So let's look at this. Number one, giving up. How do you give up? That's the question. How do we give up? Let me put it to you very simple. How do we give up? Is that we see the Lord. When I see the Lord high and exalted, it causes me to want to give up. Because when I see the greatness of who he is, when I see the greatness of his majesty, when I see the fullness of his glory, when I begin to see and experience who God is, when I taste his presence, I am astonished. I am amazed. I am humbled. And I know this, that giving up, first of all, it happens that I don't want to give up for nothing. But when I see the Lord, when I experience the Lord, when I'm in his presence, it causes me to say, God, I want to give up. God, I want to give it to you. God, all honor belongs to you. God, all glory belongs to you. God, everything I have, it belongs to you, Lord. It causes me to let go of who I am. It causes me to open up my life. When I experience the true presence of the Lord. The problem is this, is that many times we go through our week, we go through our life, and we never experience the true presence of God. We never see the Lord. So therefore, we walk around closed people. We walk around with our hearts closed, wondering, you know, we're hoarding everything we have, and our life is selfishly based because we have not spent time in God's presence. We have not seen the Lord. And to become a person who opens up their life to the Lord is a person that says, God, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord high and exalted. His presence filling the temple. I mean, it happens here on Sunday mornings many times. We come, and you know what I'm talking about. You feel the ushering of the Holy Spirit coming in this place, and you feel the presence of God. And all of a sudden, you're like, Many of you, when you first walked in this building, it was going to be a miracle if you were ever going to stand up and worship. And it was going to take an act of God and about four tow trucks to get you to raise your hands. But now you find yourself, because you're experiencing the Lord, you find yourself truly going, this is me. My hand. Some of you started off like, yes, remember this? Courtesy praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now you're like, and tears are coming down you. Why? Because you're experiencing the Lord. Some of you big macho guys, you know, I ain't going to raise my hand. But the Lord, bless God, that's for the women and children. But I'm a man. If I'm going to raise my hand, it's going to be like this. Say hallelujah. The bathroom's that way. But no, when you experience the true encounter of God, I see some of you big old guys just crying like a baby in worship. I see your hands up, and that's a great thing, because that means that you are getting a taste and you're seeing the Lord and you're realizing, I don't have it together. I don't have the answers. I'm nothing by myself. I see the Lord, and when I see the Lord, it causes me to open up. It causes me to say, God, I want to give my life to you. God, I don't care what player on the team sees me. I don't care what schoolmate sees me. I don't care what coworker sees me. I see the Lord, high and exalted. And it makes me want to raise my hands, and it makes me want to open up my life to him, because I see the Lord. There's a reason Satan fights you so hard on Sunday mornings. There's a reason why on Saturday night and Sunday morning all things are going to break loose. I mean, you ever notice that? I mean, you can have the best weekend, but as soon as that alarm goes off Sunday morning, you're trying to get ready for church, all hell breaks loose. You can't find a single clean clothes for your kids to wear. The kids have already been up and made a mess in the house. I mean, things are happening. You and your wife haven't had an argument all week, out of word, and all of a sudden you get up. I can't even look at me. There's something out to you. You know, you want to. Why is that? Because Satan does not want you to come here because he knows that you'll see the Lord. Satan doesn't want you to come and see the Lord because if you come and see the Lord, you're going to open up your life. When you come and see the Lord, you're going to realize that I don't got it all together. When you come and see the Lord, you realize, oh, he is Lord, I am not. He is control, I am not. I've got a lot of things wrong with me. I see the Lord, and it shows me who I really am. So Satan is going to fight me. And so he's going to fight you. He's going to bring, people are going to call you on Saturday night, hey, girl, there's a sale going on. And we leave tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we can be in Tulsa. We can meet them when the door's open. I mean, you're going to be hit from every angle to try to get you not to be in the presence of the Lord. Your mom is going to call you, son, I'm cooking your favorite meal tomorrow. I mean, things are going to happen, okay? And so we got to realize that Satan is trying to steal from you. He does not want you to see the Lord. Many believers have eternal life, but no abundant life because they are not having encounters with the Lord. God is wanting you to have an abundant life, not just eternal life, but an abundant life. And this abundant life comes and it starts when you have encounters with the Holy Spirit, when you have encounters with God's presence, when you say, I come in and I see the Lord high and exalted. That's why you play an important role in this service. And when you come in, and when you open up your heart to the Lord and you raise your hands and you open your mouth and you clap your hands, you're saying, God, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. God, we welcome you, God. We want you here. We want your presence here. That you're releasing something in the spiritual realm. You're releasing something to happen. And faith is rising in the room, and the anointing is spreading. You play a part of that. You play a big part of that. And God wants you to come, and he wants you to open up, first of all, giving up to him. Second of all, we find out God wants us to give in. He wants us to learn to giving in as a part of giving up, is giving in, looking inward. Isaiah saw himself two ways in this vision. In verse 5, he saw himself as unclean. Look what he said in verse 5. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah sees the Lord, and after he sees God in the fullness of who his glory is, he says, woe. Woe. I'm unclean. God, wow, you're pure. God, I'm not. God, you're holy. I am not. God, you're perfect in majestic glory. God, I am not. And it causes, when you see who God is, you get a sense of looking in the mirror who you really are. Any of you husbands out there ever look in the mirror and see who you really are? I mean, ladies, let me tell you, ladies, you do not have this problem. But guys, we have this problem. We can go 10 years and look in the mirror and one day be like, oh, where did that hair go? Where did those 30 pounds come from? We don't even see it. We're still the same guy we was when we got married in our mind, and we pass by the mirror and we don't even see it. Now, ladies, you'll see every hangnail. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking, you see everything. But guys, we have this problem when we don't see ourselves very clearly. And that it takes many times we're like, wake up one day, how did I get in this shape? You know, how did I put on 5 pounds a year for the last 8 years? I mean, how did that happen? And all of a sudden we realize, and you have a revelation, I need to start working out. I need to get in better shape, and things begin to happen. Listen, this is what is happening here, is that when we're in the presence of the Lord, we truly see ourselves for who we really are. When we have seen who God is, it causes me to look inward and say, God, I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm around people with unclean lips. God, I'm unholy. It causes me to see myself as unclean, but it also causes me to see myself as clean. In verse 7, he says, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. So it causes me, when I see the Lord, it causes me to see myself and say, I'm unclean. God, what am I doing when I say I'm unclean? I'm confessing my sin. God, I am confessing to you, God, I'm unclean. God, I'm confessing to you I have sinned in my life. God, I'm confessing to you because I see who you are. And God, I'm a guy who doesn't control his temper. God, I'm a guy who has lustful thinking. God, I'm a person who has a hard time holding her tongue. God, I'm a person who's got pride. I see myself for who I really am. I look in the mirror and I'm revealed. And as I confess it to the Lord, then I also, because of his majestic glory, because of who he is and seeing who God is, I see his grace. And I experience his grace and say, but also, God, you have made me clean. God, you have forgiven me. God, you are the one who purges my lips and purges my mind, who takes away my past. When I give in, I'm confessing who I am because I see who I really am. And then I also see myself as clean through God's mercy and grace. Look what Matthew 16:24 says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Jesus said we must what? We want to be a Christian, a Christ follower. We must deny ourselves and take up our cross. Taking up our cross means what? Why did people take up the cross? Just usually I ask that question. Why did people take up a cross? They took up a cross because they were going to die, okay? It wasn't for exercise. When you carried a cross, you were going to be crucified. A very painful death. And so when Jesus said, we've got to take up the cross, it means we got to be willing to die to ourselves. We got to be willing to die to ourselves, seeing ourselves. God, I see who you are, and I want to die to myself. God, I see your plan for my life. I want to die to my selfish plan. God, I see what you are. God, I want to become that. I want to die to who I am. All I see in my life is pride. All I see in my life is selfishness. I see in my life a person who's struggling. And so, God, I confess it. I'm walking in grace in who you are, and I want to become who you are. God, giving in, seeing ourselves as unclean and clean, and then we deny ourselves. He says, deny ourselves. You ever talk to yourself? How many ever talk to yourself here? How many teenagers talk to yourself? Don't worry, you will, okay? It'll come. My kids all the time, I'll be driving, and be like, huh? They're like, who you talking to? I'm like, I don't know. You know, you talk. They ask me all the time, who you talking to? I'm walking around talking to myself a lot. Having five kids makes you do that. I'm just going crazy. But you ever find yourself having to talk to yourself? And I would tell you this. Denying yourself means you're going to talk to yourself. Because you know yourself's going to talk to you. You ever answer a question you think in your head and you speak it out loud? You're thinking about a question and all of a sudden you speak out the answer and your kid's like, who are you talking to? Oh, nothing. You ask yourself a question. So yourself's going to speak to you. Yourself's going to tell you, hey, you don't need to diet. Yourself's going to speak to you, hey, you don't need to read the word of the Lord. Yourself's going to speak to you, hey, you don't need to give your tithe and offering. Hey, you don't need to give of your talent, your treasure. You don't need to give of your time. You don't need to help somebody else. You don't need to forgive. Yourself's going to say that. So it's important that you deny yourself. Ah, no, I've got to talk to myself and say, no, I am. I am going to walk in the fullness of what God has for me. I am going to walk in forgiveness. Listen, my flesh will speak to me and say, don't forgive. But in my heart, I know I've got to deny that and say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to walk in that forgiveness. I'm going to walk in this. Learning to deny yourself. Sometimes you just got to stand up to yourself. Don't be afraid of yourself. Stand up to yourself. When you see yourself living the way that you know you shouldn't live, look in the mirror and say, I am denying myself. This is wrong. I've got to stop indulging in this sinful or this self-destructing behavior. I've got to speak to myself. I've got to stop thinking these corrupt thoughts. I've got to stop thinking these judgmental things. I've got to stop thinking. I deny myself. I speak to myself, dying to myself. This is what it takes to be a Christ follower. More than just eternal life, we're talking about becoming an abundant life that God has for us. And number three, we see give out. We got to learn to give out. It's a natural reaction when you have an encounter with God is to give out. You know what I love about teenagers the most in youth ministry? I was a youth pastor for several years. The most fun thing I ever had in youth pastors when we had youth camp. I loved going to youth camp because, man, we got away for a whole week and they got them away from their peers. And they went there and, man, they were in services every night and God would just do incredible, incredible things in the teen's life. And when they come back, man, it was just awesome. They'd come back, you know, God's called me to be a missionary. God's called me to be a worship leader. God's called me. I'm going to win my whole school for God. Why is that? Because they spent all week seeing the Lord. They spent all week seeing the Lord. And they come back, and if we don't keep that view of seeing the Lord, we lose that passion. And that's for every one of us here, even as adults and in this room, that we've got to continue to see the Lord. We've got to continue to see the Lord that we can give out. It's a natural reaction. When I see who God is, it causes me to want to be a giver. I want to give out when I see who the Lord is. Look what verse 8 says. He says, Lord, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Plural. Us. Who's us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. He's asking the question, who shall go for us? The Trinity. Look what Isaiah said. I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. See, when you have an encounter with God, that's what happens. God looks, we say, God, I have an encounter with you. God, I'm in your presence. Then I say, God, here am I, send me. God, when I leave Monday morning to go to my job, here am I, send me. When I leave here to go to my school, when I go to my class, when I go to my university, when I go to my job, when I go to my neighborhood, when I go to my workout place, God, here am I, send me. God, how do you want to use me today? God, do you want me to be your voice? Do you want me to be your hands? Do you want me just to listen? God, what is it today that you're asking me to do? But God, here am I, send me. It's just a natural reaction that when I'm in the Lord's presence that I want to give. It just happens. I see who God is and I realize I'm selfish, man. I've got to learn to open up my life. The kingdom of God is what's important. Who am I taking with me to the kingdom of God? Who am I taking with me? Who am I sharing my testimony with? These are the things that when we open up that God is wanting to do in our life. We see the story very clear, the story of Zacchaeus. I'm not going to get very deep in the story, but we know Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, the most hated man, the big mafia dude at that time. And he went to see Jesus, and he looked up and climbed up the sycamore tree, and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have lunch at your house. And the Bible doesn't talk about what happened in that lunch, but it does talk about what happened after that lunch. That one encounter that Zacchaeus had with Jesus, that Zacchaeus walks out. This is the most selfish man in that region, okay? He would tax people beyond what was legal because he was a selfish person. He walks out and says, Jesus, because I've been with you, I'm going to go out and I'm going to repay everything I've ever stolen for anybody. I'm going to give it with interest, and I'm going to give everything I have away to these people. There's something about being with Jesus that calls you wanting to give it away, that when you experience the true mercies of God, when you experience God's fullness of his grace, when you experience who he really is, when you encounter him and you open up your life to him, it says, God, I want to give my life in return to you. God, I see how much you've given me. I see that you died on the cross for me. I see that you gave your only son for me. I see that you gave me grace and mercy when I deserve death and judgment. God, I see who you are. I'm unclean, but God, even though I'm unclean, you called me clean. So it causes me to return and say, God, I want to give my life away. I want to open up. I want to give up my life to you. I want to give my inside, my outside, everything belongs to you. John 20:21, we're going to close with this scripture right here. It says, so Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. God is wanting to send you. God is wanting to send you. He's not wanting to send Pastor Matt in your place. He's not wanting to send me in your place. God is wanting to send you. He's wanting to use you. He's wanting to use me. Every one of us here, God is wanting to send us to be the person who opens up our lives. Says, God, I'm ready to be sent of you. But are you willing to open up your life? At the first time of salvation, we tell everyone, remember that when time you first got saved? Remember that time when you first got saved and you went and told everyone? God saved me. I gave my heart to God today. You're crying. You're telling people. But months go by and years go by. And how many people do we continue to tell what God's done in our life? How many people do we continue to minister to and tell? Well, we had an encounter with God. We saw who God was. We saw his grace and his mercy. We saw our uncleanness, and so we confessed him as Lord and became a Christian, received eternal life. And I tell everybody, and then over time, I begin to close off. I allow myself to get closed off. I spend too many times with Christians who are closed off, and I think that's a normal thing to do. In reality, God's wanting us to deny ourselves every day, to grow every day, to give my life away every day to him, not just a salvation. But every day, God's wanting me to give my life away that I can walk in an abundant living that he has for me. Today, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Nobody looking around today. I want to ask you this very important question. It's a question of eternal life, and it really is that question of eternal life. And are you right with Jesus Christ today? I would not embarrass you at all. No one's looking around but me, please. But this is the question I have for you. Is this question is, today, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he Lord of your life? Have you confessed him as Lord of your life? Do you want to walk, first of all, in that eternal salvation I've been talking about? If you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never prayed that prayer before. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me my sins. And today, I'm ready to do that. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I've prayed that prayer before, but it's been a long time. And I found myself so far away from God. And today, I want to come back and I want to renew my relationship with him once again. If you're here today and say, Pastor, that's me. I will not embarrass you. No one's looking but me. But can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus today. Let me know. Thank you. Anybody else today you want to join? Raise where I can see it. The most important thing you can do today is this decision right here. Thank you. Anybody else today you want to join these people? Let's say this prayer together. I want everybody to repeat after me. Let's say it together. Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give everything I am. I give it to you. I believe you are the Messiah. And I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Today, if you pray that prayer, we say, first of all, just welcome to the family of God. Amen. Just bless us. As you leave today, we have a special packet in the very back. You can stop by our information welcome center back to my left and receive a free packet. It's got a free Bible and some other information to tell you what to do next. I'm going to invite you to stand where you're at today. We're going to close with a song. As we close with a song, it's a song that says, God, here in your presence. And I want you just to challenge your heart and say, God, I want to learn to see the Lord. Okay, that's the first key. I want to learn to see the Lord. If we don't see him here, how are we going to see him on Monday? I mean, this is the easy place right here. When we're singing with my friends and family and lifting up the Lord together. Let's learn to God. Every time we come together, I'm going to do my part to release my life to him, to give it up to him. I'm going to give it up to him. I want to give my life to him. I want to learn to see the Lord. Let's make it personal.
bows before you. Here in your presence, here in your presence, we are lost. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way. Wonderful, beautiful.
Presence, God, we learn, Lord, to see you high and exalted. Lord, our prayer is like today, like Isaiah saw you high and exalted as you train through the temple. God, I pray that every time the Destiny Church comes to meet, like every time we come, God, our hearts will be anticipating that, God, we want to see the Lord. We want to see the Lord high and exalted. God, we don't want to see man exalted. We don't want to see people exalted. God, we want to see you exalted. God, we want to see you lifted up, because your word says, God, if you are lifted up, in return, you will draw all men to yourself. So, God, we pray today that we see you high and exalted, lifted up in our worship, lifted up in our hearts, lifted up in our words, lifted up in every area of our life, that, God, we can learn to be people who open up our life to you. We learn to open up our life to you, Lord, seeing ourselves as unclean, but also seeing ourselves as forgiven through grace and mercy. And that leads us to say, God, here am I. Send me. Use me. Take my life, God. Whatever you want to do, God, I open it up. It belongs to you. And Father, we are people today who say that, God, send us, God. Use us, God. Lead us in any area you want to, God, as we see you high and lifted up, exalted in your people, God. I pray that faith will arise among your people. Every time we come together, God, may our hearts increase. May our hunger increase for more of you. May our hunger increase, God, to see you high and exalted. God, knowing that, God, when you're exalted, that, God, your glory fills this place, that, God, people can't stand in that, God. There's healing in your presence, God. There's restoration in your presence. There's redemption in your presence, God. There's hope that's coming, Lord. Forgiveness coming. Peace of mind, Lord. Healed hearts. Healed spirits, God. As you're coming, Lord, as we spend time in your presence, God, as we see you high and exalted. May we lift you up this week, God, in everything that we do. May we see you high and exalted, God. We thank you, God, today for your presence. We thank you for your word. And God, we're going to live in that. We're going to walk in that. And we're going to say together, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. God bless you. Shake a hand before you leave. Tell someone it's good to be in God's presence, in God's house with you today.